You're listening to Ross FM 94.6, and this is the WOW show World of Women with Susan and Danny in the studio. And right now in the studio with us, we have a very special guest. And just before our little break there, you heard this lady's mother give us a wonderful interview about life as a retailer in Ireland. Well, this is Siobhan here now with us today, and she's also going to give us an interview about what life is like in Ireland as a retailer. Siobhan, you're very welcome to the studio today, and thanks for giving us time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you.
Siobhan, can you just tell us before we start, what is the name of your business?
I'm in Haley's at number 8 in Harrison Centre in Roscommon.
That's great. And can you tell us a little bit about what it is you do there in Haley's?
I have women's fashion. I do some accessories, some jewellery, and I kind of do like affordable, good quality, everyday
clothing.
Kind of clothes. Yeah.
We'll touch on that again throughout the interview, Siobhan. But firstly, I'd just like to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in a business family?
Well, I don't know. It was just second nature to me. It's just the way we were. When I was 5 and a half, my mum and dad bought a grocery shop and a petrol station. So I grew up on my roller skates around the shop and filling petrol and demanding that I was able to use the till when I was very little. Yeah, I used to have to stand on the stool to get up to the till, and you'd get funny looks from the customers, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And I've said to mum in recent years, it really shaped us, how we were, me and my sisters, because you're constantly dealing with the public. You learn to view life a different way. I would be very polite and I would be very courteous, and it's just the way we were reared, and it's the way we were. Like, so I didn't know any different. That's the way we were.
You have this business attitude.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Growing up with that, that's who you are now today. You have that background.
Exactly. And it's just second nature to me. I don't even realise that that's the way I think.
That comes natural.
Exactly.
And especially when you're dealing with the public, you're dealing with every single walk of life, and you tend to get to know different personalities. And I think over time in retail, what you realise is that you absolutely have to be polite.
Absolutely.
No matter what the situation, even if you get the irate customer.
For sure, yeah, that's even more when you have to be polite.
You do, and it kind of develops your personality as well. But what an experience growing up. I mean, you really did get a good head start.
Yeah, for sure.
About the business world.
And I think like being a child and growing up besides school, you need something like that to shape you.
Absolutely.
For the future.
Yeah, and it even built our confidence, because once mum opened now Satara, I used to go to work with her on a Saturday, and she used to send me to the shop, or you know, during the summer I'd go to the bank during the week for her, or things like that. So I was always well able to communicate with other people, even in situations outside of the business. And I was aware of how to lodge a cheque into the bank. I was aware of, you know, silly things that a lot of people...
All aspects coming with the business.
And they're very important things to know, I mean. And it's definitely important in terms of life experience.
Exactly.
And that's something that you do gain when you're dealing with the public.
Yeah,
definite.
Exactly, yeah.
And Siobhan, can you tell us, did you always know you will be in business yourself?
No, quite the opposite, actually. I watched mum struggle, and when things were hard, I seen the other side of it. I didn't see the glamorous side of it. I saw, you know, when she had a quiet day and she had bills to pay, and I saw that side of it, and I swore I would never do that. I said, I'm never going to put myself through that. But I guess what's in your blood is in your blood.
Well, at least you went into it, and as a business person myself, when I could just identify there when you were talking about the hard times, a lot of people think that when you go into business it is glamorous and you've lots of money and people in business are wealthy and that's that, and sometimes it couldn't be further from the truth.
Most of the time
there are times when in your business where you can't pay your rent, where you actually don't have money
that's
at all,
for sure.
And I mean, people who work in a job, they get their salary no matter what, but when you're in business, if you fall in hard times, there is no salary.
Exactly.
But I think for yourself going into business, knowing that it gave you a really good kind of a viewpoint to go in with, knowing that that could happen.
Oh, for sure. And I'm so lucky. Mom is like the best advice you could possibly have. She's 24 years of experience plus plus, because she had the shop before that, the grocery shop, there's no question she doesn't know the answer to it. And, you know, even it's just
she's
a sympathetic
she's been
care.
Through all of them.
Exactly.
Like all of them situations.
You know, it's a day when I'm really quiet and I'll ring mum and she'll be like, it's okay, we were quiet too. And you, it's just someone to say, you know, it's that
it's
kind
it's
of backup.
It
exactly.
balances out.
Sometimes
at the end
you
of the
need
week.
You need that, oh, it's okay, don't
for
worry,
sure.
You'll,
for sure.
you'll get through.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important to get through also the difficult days, because then you, when you will be successful, you'll appreciate so much more.
Oh, it's, yeah. Yeah.
It's absolutely impossible to become successful without having difficulties.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really is.
Yeah.
And anyone in business will tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tell us, Yvonne, did you always have an eye for fashion?
Well, like I said, Mom opened when I was 10. So I went every Saturday, I went to work with her. And then, like, I used to go all summer. So while I suppose I was still so young, I had no sense of style myself. And then I developed my style through the shop. But I found a unique perspective of the fact that Mum's clothes were always for an older lady. So they were never for me. So I was able to look at a piece of an item of clothing and appreciate the beauty of it without thinking I'd wear that.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think it stood to me now in my own shop, because I'm not buying fashion for me. I'm buying fashion for
your clients.
It's beautiful and it's a unique piece of fashion in itself. I don't need to see myself in it,
yeah.
if that makes sense. It's,
yeah, exactly.
It's
absolutely
yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. You think you have different type of clients. They are not
yeah.
going to look like you or be like you.
Exactly.
So you have to be open-minded to
yes.
accept all of them.
Yeah, and yeah. actually a lot of my friends have commented on that and they're like, how do you buy this stuff for the shop? Like, I just buy everything that I'd want myself.
Yeah.
But I suppose because I've seen it for so long and I grew up looking at fashion without being for me,
yeah.
it made it so much easier.
Well, I have to say, just on that note, Siobhan, when I walked into your store, I was pretty much blown away by the selection that you had, the styles that you had, and how affordable such good quality items were.
Yeah.
I was like, that can't be that price.
I know.
It feels so good.
To be honest, a lot of the time when the stuff comes in, I'm doing the exact same thing myself.
I looked
yeah.
at some of the coats
yeah.
that you had there, I was thinking, no, that
yeah.
can't be the price. It
yeah,
so
no,
much
there should be
expensive.
Another digit on
and
that.
And they are so dressy. They
yeah.
are so dressy.
And there's something for everyone
yeah.
there.
And
like
then going in there, you can put an outfit together and you won't feel guilty going out from the
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
You,
yeah.
won't
yeah.
feel
so
like, oh, I left
like
on my money in here.
Maxed out your credit card, you know. And
that's what I was trying for, yeah.
Yeah,
because I
really,
know,
and it's feeling the clothes. I mean, the quality of them. I just couldn't believe the price then.
Yeah,
you know?
And I think that's the mass market these days. Like, that's most of your clients. They are like,
yeah.
So we all like a bit of fashion and to be in fashion, but at the same time, we don't have money to,
no,
to spend
yeah,
can, every week.
Absolutely. But I find I'm not going to mention names of any retailers, of course, but some larger retailers that will be low cost, I think they compromise on the quality.
Yeah.
And I think we all know what I'm talking about, but I've often had situations where I buy a t-shirt or a dress and you wash it and that's the end.
Yeah.
So that's
disposable
false economy.
Fashion, I call it. Yeah.
Disposable fashion.
Yeah.
And it is false economy. But what I found in your store, which was different, was that there is the quality there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just good
it's
stuff.
It's fantastic,
yeah.
yeah.
We are going to be back, that's for sure. That's
I can't wait until I have some free time to head over. Can you tell me, Siobhan, when did you set up the business?
The 8th of April last year, so I'm a year and a half now.
Congratulations
yeah,
on
you.
Getting over the first year.
Yeah, yeah.
But they say the Monster. First year is the hardest.
Yeah, someone said 3 years. If you get the first 3 years, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Like
then,
in a relationship. But that's better.
That's the first 5 years.
That's forever.
Well, basically, if you can get through your first year of paying your bills, you're
yeah.
kind of doing okay, you
yeah.
know. And what happens is then after 2 or 3 years, you become more established. And when you're established, that's it.
Yeah.
Because everybody will travel from far and wide, you know.
Yeah.
So you're in business a year and a half. Do you have any plans for expansion? Are you going to stay in the one store? Are you going to open another store?
Well, I mean, in an ideal world, you'd love to have millions of them and be able to sit back on an empire and not work every day. But I think realistically, coming into it, I'd be really happy if I could just make one work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you can make one really work, then in time you can decide if you want it. Sometimes
yeah.
having two or three is a hassle.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
And on that terms, I just want to, I notice your shop is just beside your mum's shop. So
yeah,
again,
which is
like,
fantastic.
It is. Like, you couldn't get it better.
Mm.
Did you want to have that location, or you were waiting for that location, or?
Well, I started off in Stonecourt.
Oh, right.
Mum had her, Mum actually owns a premises there, so I was lucky, I was so fortunate she gave it to me rent free for a little while. So it was just to test the market, see was there a customer there for that brand, and I kind of set it up. And then as soon as I kind of got 6 months into it, I kind of had that niggle in the back of my head that I needed to move, but yeah. It's all cost, there's a cost factor in it all. So I was really lucky that premises came up beside Mum and there was a clothes shop in it already, so I needed no work really, I just make it my own, and that was it. So that was why I decided to move, and it was just my good luck that it was right beside Mum.
Yeah,
so
that's the first thing that I was thinking when we were there. I was sitting outside the door, I was looking right and left, mother and daughter, what could be better?
And two completely business. Different stories.
Exactly.
You can, for all the ages, like you can go in there from young girls to mid age to older ladies.
And I feel that the Harrison Centre has really developed now over the past couple of years. I know the recession hit Roscommon hard, as it did everywhere, but I feel that the Harrison Centre as a location, because you walk from the main street over to Tesco's and back, I think you get a nice footfall there. Would that be right?
Yeah, it's brilliant. The car park at Tesco's is fantastic, and of course we have free parking in Roscommon, so we're so lucky.
We are, because I work in another town as well as Roscommon, and it isn't free parking, and it's a hassle, especially you know, for your customers and for yourself, because you have to keep running out and putting money in there.
And it's so expensive then as well, the cost of that.
Can I ask you, what influences your buying decisions? Do you watch fashion shows, or do you just go through fashion magazines, or do you just know instinctively what to buy?
To be honest, a lot of it, the company does the hard work for you. So They keep an eye on the trends. They know what colours are in, they know what styles are in, and you go, usually we'll go to a showroom in Dublin and they'll have, like, say one piece of every item that they'll have available for you. I'm lucky my stock is bought pretty much to order, so I'll buy it now for now, whereas Mum would be buying very far ahead, so it's a lot harder. And so I can kind of buy within 4 weeks, I'd have all my stock in.
Oh, that's great.
So I'll go and, like, I'd have an idea myself. I do have an interest in fashion, obviously. So I would have an idea of what trends are kind of around. And, you know, you'd know from looking at all the different suppliers that, you know, if you see the big sleeves in every single collection, you're going to know their big sleeves are in.
Yeah, of course.
And then I kind of would pick my items based on saleability. So what I think the most people are going to like, you know, colour-wise, like what colour is going to suit the most amount of people. And then I would kind of go for shapes that are going to suit good, you know, good shapes. If it's kind of very empire, it's not going to suit everybody. Yeah, so I do tend to be a little bit safe in that sense. Sometimes I'll take an odd risk, but I try and go for the most, obviously, the
stuff
most saleable stuff.
Everybody.
Exactly.
Being the normal.
Where anybody can wear it. Because there are some stores you go into and they're very restrictive on who shops there, again, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are stores that you go into and they will be limited on sizes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, if you're not a small, medium or large, forget it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the large is like a size 12.
Yeah.
You know, and I think to myself, wow.
Yeah.
But do you have any tips for what's hot this autumn and winter?
Well, like I mentioned, the big sleeves are all in. They're going to be huge. Knitwear is always huge for the winter, and I think, like, if you can get a kind of a statement knitwear piece.
And I seen you have there, like, actually Susan was dying to get that coat on her. Was a kind of a coat, but was a bit more, not kind of wintry.
Yeah,
they were light coats with the nice big collar and the belt.
Felt coats
very
they're
dressy.
In. Yeah, they're
very
really
dressy.
In.
Very dressy.
And nice colours.
Great. And I love that yellowy mustardy colour you have in that as well. That is such a
I'm
nice
colour. I'm delighted
color.
I'm not the only one with yellow around.
Yeah,
here.
I love yellow.
That colour is in for the winter.
But
actually,
I was out yesterday and I had a look around, and there's an awful lot of dresses back in. I was delighted.
Yeah.
dresses and florals as well for winter, which is normally you don't see florals until the summertime.
Yeah. And I think this winter, of the last couple of winters, there's a lot more colour around as well, which is great. Usually when you kind of get to this stage of the year, you're getting in black, grey,
plain and simple.
Exactly.
Every
so it's nice to see. There's that lovely rose pink. It's really big and it's lovely. I really like it. And there seems to be a good bit of grey coming through as well. So I'm a real grey person. So I'm delighted
grey
about that.
Grey is such a sophisticated colour, though. It really is.
Yeah,
and it works
it.
And you can team it up with anything.
Yeah, you can mix and match it with different other colours or items.
Siobhan, do you have sales at certain times of the year?
I try to stick to, like, after Christmas and then in the end of the summer. So it would be the end of my two seasons.
And I don't know because I'm not in the fashion industry, but would you have a sale based on overstock or stock that didn't sell, or do you buy for a sale, or how does that work?
No, my sales would be like a genuine sale, so it's stock that didn't sell in the season. That's why they'd be seasonal as well. So I'm selling off my winter stock at the end of the winter.
Kind of coming to springtime.
Exactly, getting ready for my summer stock to come in. And then at the end of the summer, it'd be the same. I'd be selling off my summer stock in preparation for my winter stock coming in.
So genuine sales.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you all set for Christmas? And do you have your Christmas stock yet? Or are you even thinking about that yet?
Well, like I said, my stock comes in pretty quickly. So yeah. I haven't bought that far ahead. I'm kind of glad because I can kind of buy as I see the need. If people start coming in looking for Christmas dresses, I can buy in a load of Christmas dresses. If people, like if the weather got really warm, I could kind of buy in some lighter coats or things like that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's much easier.
So we'll be back with you before the Christmas.
Yeah, I get stock pretty regularly, so I'd have stock maybe every 2 weeks.
Oh, sure, that's great. Yeah. Great.
Well, it's great for people who kind of want to come in fairly regularly as well.
Absolutely. So, Siobhan, can you tell us, do you run the store yourself or do you have staff or would you mainly be there?
It's just me at the minute. So I'm there every day. I just open Tuesday to Saturday because it's just me. So I have my day off still.
Right.
So if you want to see me, come in.
Call it Tuesday to Saturday. And what are your opening hours?
I just do 10 to 6 at the minute. But I mean, obviously, I'm open to if people want me there longer, I'll stay longer.
You can do late nights.
But I think that's the advantage of being self-employed as well. If someone comes in at 5 to 6 going, I desperately need something to wear tonight, I can stay. There's no problem.
And that's the great thing. And do you feel that being the owner of the store, you kind of give that extra bit of service?
Yeah, of course. You know, it's in my best interest to make it work. So you won't get rolled eyes at the till with me. I hope anyway. I mean, I try to put my best face forward every day when I go in, and I try to offer everybody that unique service, like, you know, that you want to get. That's what you want when you go into a shop. You want personal service, you want personal attention, you want a personal opinion, and
you just want friendliness and acknowledgement.
Exactly.
You're not
exactly
looking for a clown's act when you go into a store, but to be acknowledged is
Or
important.
Somebody to be on their phone and then you are there waiting to get off their phone so you can ask the question.
No. I actually hate being on the phone when people are in the shop.
I have to say, I noticed that when we opened the door and we came in the shop, like, you're straight away
you
smiley
get
face
focused attention, and you know. And even myself in business, as soon as a customer would come in, that's it. Hang up the phone and say, hello, and how are you? Because I appreciate people coming in the door, and I'm
sure
you do.
Exactly.
As well.
And I never want people to feel under pressure either. Like, you're welcome to come into my shop 5 times a week and look around every single day and walk out without buying something.
Oh,
that's never a problem. I would rather you come in and look than feel like you can't come in because you have to buy something.
And there are places that you go into where you do kind of feel under pressure, but we didn't feel like that in your store.
No,
anyway.
Good. I'm glad because my shop is quite small, you can kind of feel intimidated, and I try and take a wander off.
It's not, maybe you find it small because it's more than your mom's shop.
I found it big enough.
Big enough, and I have to say it's nice decorated.
Oh, thank you.
It's a bit of girly girl, you know, when you go in there and you just feel all relaxed. I cannot wait to have a look here.
Thank you. That's exactly how I felt. I can't wait to have a look because everything was just laid out perfect, and the minute you walk in, your eyes are like bing, bing, bing.
And you can see everything straight away. You don't have to go and look to a amount of clothes to figure out what's there now.
Yeah. And where your counter is positioned as well, it does give customers the privacy to have a walk around as well. It's not really.
And
I
try and not, I like to speak to people, but I don't want people to feel like I'm following them around the shop, and I don't want them to feel
that's very important to know that balance. I know since I was a child I hated to go in the shop when you feel that pressure. And then like, oh, she's behind me, oh, I better don't touch the dress.
No, I'd hate someone to feel like that in my shop now, and if I do that, it wouldn't be on purpose. So
we found it very relaxed, and we felt like we could look around, even though we specifically came in to talk to you. We still got to have to look around.
Siobhan, have you any advice for young people out there looking to set up their own business?
I think, like we mentioned already, don't go into it thinking I'm going to be sat at home while someone else runs my business for me, because it just doesn't work like that. And I've come across so many people who think you do have this glamorous life and you're going to have this big car and this lovely house and all this money.
But you work hard.
you really do have to build it up. And I think unless you're really lucky that you hit on an idea that's like a million dollar idea straight away, it just doesn't work like that. Like every week I'm glad to get my wages and that's all I get. I don't make a huge amount of money. I make as much as anybody else does. I pay my bills and I go home, and that's all. That's what I want from my
and
shop.
You are there every day.
Every day from
good and bad.
And usually, like I said, I'll stay if someone needs me to stay. There's no set hours. I don't get a lunch break. I don't leave that shop once I go in the door. I eat when there's nobody in the shop. Mm. But like I'm fortunate in the sense that if there's nobody there, I can sit. I don't have someone looking over my shoulder. I'm not trying to make people feel sorry for me, but
it's true. As a self-employed person myself, when I started off as well, I remember the times when you didn't get a lunch break and you sat there, and it's not like being in a job where there's rules and regulations and by law you have to have a break. Sometimes when you're self-employed, you're looking at 15-hour days.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Especially at the Christmas period and everything, and when it's busy, because it's you.
Yeah.
That's it at the end of the day.
Yeah, and usually coming up to Christmas, well, I'm hoping I won't have to do seven, but I may have to do 7 days. It'll be long days. You'll be open later. I get 2 days off for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like I think it's just important to walk into it open eyed. And so I was lucky that I had mum to kind of I know the hard side of it first before I knew the good side of it. So
and when things do get good, and they do get good,
exactly,
it's great. But you do have to build up to that, and it takes time. You know, it takes a lot of time and hard work
for sure. And I think if you put in the hard work, put in the hours, and you know, and eventually it can become something. And
Absolutely.
I'm lucky, like I think the brand that I have in the shop, it can become something. I think it's one of those kind of companies. They really have their eye on the ball. They have the quality. They have the fashion. They know what's on trend. But they're doing it right. They're not just churning it out kind of like some of the other stores, that it's
fast
the
forward,
quality. Yeah, it's, you know,
you get the money in, cash it in, and
exactly,
then we'll see next month whatever it will be.
Exactly.
But that's,
yeah,
what I found going into your store was that it was different, and I said it already, I know, but in terms of the quality and the styles that you had, like it was just fashion central.
But like I said, I like to kind of stay safe, and I like things that people can wear. A few people have said that to me. They're like, this stuff is all really wearable. It's every day. It's, you know, mom's going to collect their kids from school, but they look stylish, but they feel really comfortable. They're not like too way out there. It's
Absolutely.
Just everyday fashion for everybody.
And as Danny was saying about the coats, that they were quite dressy. Like, it does mean
you can do a lot with them.
Wear something dressy.
You can mix
and match
them. So I suppose that's another advice. When you start, just keep it normal in the mass market area, and don't try to.
Don't be too big. Like don't run before you can walk. You know,
exactly.
I know.
Safe and then kind of experiment with
with
kind of wilder fashions.
Well, that's good advice there from you, Siobhan. Thank you very much. And before we finish, can you maybe tell our listeners how can they find you, maybe on social media?
Yeah, I have Instagram, Facebook. I'm on Twitter, but I have to confess I'm not very good at Twitter.
I'm a big Twitterer.
Yeah,
What is your Twitter handle?
I think if you search for like @Hayley's_8, you should get me.
@Hayley's_8, and I'll follow you anyway.
Yeah, it's the it's the number 8 rather than
the
spelled
number
out.
So
like
@Hayley's_8,
and N the N O 8.
Oh,
that's really complicated.
@Hayley's N-O-8.
That's it.
So I think
classic
number. Remember your Twitter. And what are you on Instagram?
I think it's the same on all of them.
And the same on Facebook. Okay,
same on Facebook. I'll follow you there, Instagram and Facebook, and then she's going to tweet it because she's all
good.
And if any of our listeners want that information again, or if you feel you've missed it, just give us a text in on 083-859-9748, and we can give you out all of Siobhan's contact details.
Or you can text or follow us on our Facebook page, Wow World of Women.
Yes. Siobhan, I believe yourself and your mother both had the Fergal Quinn experience. Can you actually talk to us a bit about that and tell us what exactly that was like and what it involved?
Yeah, well, I think it's 5 years ago, 4.5 years ago now, the programme approached us, and we were Wide Variety that time. I'm sure a lot of people still call it Wide Variety.
I know the name Wide Variety.
I suppose we just went through the whole process with them. So we started kind of around April time, and by August then we really launched the shop, and the programme was on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was involved in that? What did you have to do? Was this Fergal Quinn doing a revamp on a retail outlet?
Exactly. So Fergal came in, we got to meet him. He's such a lovely man. And they kind of set various challenges for us throughout the process. So say that time Mam wasn't on social media, so one of the things was they came and helped us set all that up, and we obviously relaunched the shop with a new name. I also got to go to Dublin, and I met up with Angela Scanlon, and she kind of did a little fashion challenge with me in Dublin, and
Wow. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah. So.
And what was involved in the fashion challenge?
Well, she wanted me to kind of narrow down who our customer base was, and like what age group, who we kind of saw them as, and kind of nearly put a person in mind in our head. So when we're buying, we buy for that person.
Right.
So I had to kind of like pick a celebrity icon, I suppose, and then I had to go into the shop and pick out what I would buy for my shop from that shop, say.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, it was really interesting. It was a fascinating process. It was really tough, though. It was long days filming. And it was all new to
us.
So
all that adds up to your experience. Like that's an even extra.
Yeah. I got some great tips off Angela, actually. It was really interesting.
And how did you get involved in it? Did you approach Fergal Quinns? Or
no,
did they approach you?
They came to us, actually.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And I wonder, did they make the research, like in each county, in or How did they decide? I don't know how they even came across us now.
To be honest,
I think you were so lucky. Like even in Roscommon, there are a few shops, honest to be and then to pick your shop.
Yeah, and it really did help us. It was like kind of right in the middle of when things were really tough. And
so then you changed the name.
Well, I think they felt that the Wide Variety had a bad negative kind of a vibe that people associated with big sizes and big.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what I would associate it with. And was it for larger
sizes? No, like Mam's always done from size 10. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so they kind of thought like the name change might kind of
would associate that with
a BC
from X size up.
Exactly. Now, she does do size 26, 28, but she always started from size 10.
From
so,
10,
yeah,
right.
And we really struggled. And, like, it's not just, it's a young, she does a lot of lovely young brands as well. So, yeah, it kind of helped us more, I suppose, focus on what we were doing and see where we were going. And I think the idea at the time was set it up for me to take over. But I came up with other plans in the meantime.
Idea, but you come up with even better idea.
Yeah.
Did you find there was an increase in turnover after the rebrand?
To be honest, I think it just helped us stay open at the time. It wasn't what we were expecting it to be, but we were very unfortunate in the sense that our program was the very last one that ever went out on air. So usually he does the revisit and he does all of that, but we missed out on that. Yeah, it
was
a really
cool
program.
Did you ever watch it?
No, I never watched it. But
I suppose it'd be an Irish thing, really, because Fergal Quinn was
Queensworth.
It was a big Irish grocery store.
But from what you are saying, like, I do understand the point.
Oh,
yes, see where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And I think. That's so nice because you even have the coverage, the national coverage on telly as well. And a part of that, you had all the marketing tools.
Just to draw
it's
from...
It's a brilliant thing to have this programme. Like, it was really, really good on TV.
And to be able to pick his brain, it was fantastic. I mean, he's a sensational businessman. Like, unbelievable.
I watched nearly all of them and I'm surprised. I'm going to go back and do a replay.
It was the very last programme we were on.
I'm
think it's the 23rd.
I'm going to do a bit of research now and I'm going to watch that.
There's a few other retail outlets. He did, a guy over in Ballyhaunis. I don't know if I can say it on air or not, but it's a man's clothing store.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that one and a few other places around. And do you know, afterwards, it's like, actually, he did Burgess in Athlone. And to this day, the window display there is still phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it really made
but
a big difference.
But I think every now and again, I have a bit of marketing, background.
Background.
But I think every now and again, any business from, let's say, from radio to clothes shopping to makeup, whatever kind of business, you need a bit of refresh. You need, because the times are changing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You have more options out there. Technology, it's such a big variety. So you have to keep up with the market.
Yeah.
You constantly to go keep
and it was one of those things where we kind of knew we had to do it, but you never have the money. You never have the time,
the tools,
you never
and you don't know where to start.
Exactly,
because you are a salesperson, but marketing is such a big variety, and you need where to start. Before sales, you have so many others things that need to be done.
And then if you're to employ someone to do your marketing, it's a lot of money, and a lot of businesses can't actually afford to employ.
But
a
here
marketer,
I come
you know?
And can help me. No, I'm not a pro, but still.
Oh, you're definitely a pro, Danny. Definitely. Siobhan, it's been an absolute pleasure. You're a total pro and we're both looking forward to coming and shopping with you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Siobhan.
Thank you.
Thank you.